Desert Island Discs. Each week, a well-known person is asked the question, if you were to be cast away alone on a desert island, which 8 gramophone records would you choose to have with you, assuming, of course, that you also had a gramophone? As usual, the week's castaway is introduced by Roy Plumley.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? On our desert island this week is a star of radio, television, films, and variety. He's very much a family man. He's head, or I think so, of a very famous family. Here at 12 stone 6, 6 feet 1, and never more than 37 years old, is Ben Lyon.
Oh, wait a minute. Just a minute, Roy. Not 37, 36.
I'm sorry. Wrong information from Beebe.
Yeah, my birthday is next month.
I'll send you a card.
Is that all?
Well, welcome ashore, Ben. You've brought your records, I see. Have you got a big collection at home?
Well, I was told I could take 8 records if I were shipwrecked on this island, so I have them.
Mm-hmm. What sort of records do you think would be first value on a desert island?
Well, I think under the circumstances, I would take nostalgic and melodious records.
Fine.
I'm not a highbrow, you know.
Do you play any instrument yourself?
Well, I did try the piano once, but they laughed at me when I sat down, and I think they're still laughing, so I've never tried again.
There is, of course, plenty of musical talent in the family. You get plenty of music at home.
Oh, yes, yes. B.B. sings a great deal, and, you know, Barbara's followed in her footsteps. And, oh, by the way, Barbara plays the piano very well, too, but I can't get her to do it now because she said it breaks her fingernails.
Oh, what's the first record you've chosen?
Well, Roy, the first one I brought along to play is a lovely record, I think, by the Melocrino Orchestra, entitled Beyond the Blue Horizon. I imagine that, I've always wanted to be beyond the blue horizon.
Now you're there.
Now I'm there. And another thing, this would remind me to keep an eye on the sky as well as the horizon for a possible passing ship or a plane overhead so I could signal them to bring me back to civilization.
Well, let's hear the disc. The next one, Ben?
Well, the next one, Roy, is a record that B.B. made some years ago called As Round and Round We Go.
Well, that was from a show you were both in, wasn't it?
Yes, it's from Haw Haw, a show we did at the old Hoban Empire before it was blitzed.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, I'd like to have this record with me because, well, being shipwrecked, it would be a chance to hear B.B. and have her with me in record form, if not in person. And I'd like to have you listen carefully to the lyrics because they're lovely. I used to stand in the wings every night and watch this number, this production number. It was produced beautifully by the late George Black, and I hope you like it.
Wonderful night with all the world in white and you beside me. Wonderful night to hear the music playing sweet and low.
Yes, that's a charming little song. Ben, let's go back to the beginning. What part of the United States are you from, first of all?
Well, I'm from the Deep South, Atlanta, Georgia.
Mm. Any tradition in the family for the theater?
No, I'm afraid I was the only outcast in the family, the only one in the theater.
How did it all start?
Well, Roy, I suppose I'm no different from millions of other people. I think we all go through a stage in our lives when we become stage struck. Well, it so happened that my mother had to move our family to New York when my sister attended Columbia University. And, of course, I entered school there as well, not Columbia University. And on my way to school, I used to pass the famous Player Studios. And I noticed a sign said casting office. And I dropped in one day and I said, how do you get in pictures? They said, you'll do. So I was taken in, scared to death, and given a day's work.
As what?
Oh, as an extra.
How old were you then?
I was about 16.
Did you do any more extra work after that?
Oh, yes, quite a bit, quite a bit. I used to be paid the large sum of $2.50 a day.
Oh, a lot of money.
Oh, it's a lot of money, Roy, but I must tell you something else about that. It used to cost me $2.50 a day to rent my dress suit, 30 cents for lunch and 20 cents for car fare. So every day I worked, I lost 50 cents, about 3 shillings.
Something wrong there. When did you start in the theater?
Well, I was an unsuccessful extra for about 3 years. You know, there's nothing lower than that. And fortunately, Sam Goldwyn put me on the stage and then took me from the stage to Hollywood under contract, and then I began playing parts in the silent films out there.
Well, having got you to that stage in your career, having got you to Hollywood, let's break off and have another record. What's your third one?
Well, my third record is one that is a rather unusual one, but one of my favorites. It has a sort of a Corsican atmosphere to me, and I imagine I would be shipwrecked on that type of island, something in the tropics, I hope, where it's nice and warm.
Yeah, I wouldn't call Corsica tropical, exactly.
Well, no, I beg your pardon. I meant in the warm climate. Mm-hmm. I was wrong there. Yeah. But this is called Armin's Theme, and it's most unusual, and I think you'll like it.
I see your face, it's everywhere. I smell the fragrance of your hair. I feel your touch in everything I do. I wonder what your heart is saying. I wonder if you hear them playing the song that brings me yesterday and you.
Armin's Theme, played by Ken Jones and his music with the Tonettes. Well, getting back to your career, Ben, you went to Hollywood with Sam Goldwyn. I remember you starred in a lot of famous silent pictures then with Pola Negri and Gloria Swanson, Colleen Moore, Jean Harlow.
Oh, yes, yes. You know, I discovered Jean Harlow, right?
Did you?
Yes.
Well, she was a lovely artist. I remember seeing her in Hell's Angels.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yes, I don't know how many times I saw that picture. Do you know, I can remember every shot of that picture.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Some splendid performances. I remember, of course, Jean Harlow.
Yeah.
James Hall. John Farrow was there.
Oh, yes, yes.
Frank Clark. Roscoe Turner. I can see it now, you know.
Yes, well, don't you remember anyone else, Roy?
No, I don't think so.
You see, there was a chap at the end of the picture that was shot in the back by his brother. Gave a very fine performance. Think carefully.
Yes, I'm thinking.
His initials are Ben Lyon. You remember?
Oh, you were in it.
Oh, yes, Roy, I was.
Do you have any lines?
Oh, yes, I had about as many lines as I have in my face now.
That's a funny thing, that. I must see it again. Well, changing the subject, Ben, where did you first meet B.B.? In a studio?
No, Roy, I first met B.B. at a bridge party in Hollywood, a dinner party one night. You know, Hollywood used to be mad over bridge, and they asked if I'd make a fourth, and I said yes. Of course, I didn't tell them that I didn't play bridge. But I was anxious to be at the table with B.B. And they started playing, and I didn't know one card from another, so I did have sense enough to follow suit. When they played a spade, I played a spade. A heart, I played a heart. Well, it was all right until I ran out of cards to follow suit. Then I played a card that apparently took a trick, and it was a fantastic double finesse, or whatever it may be in bridge, and they thought I was fantastic until the next play, and then they caught on I didn't know a thing about bridge. But that was the start of our romance.
B.B. forgave you, and that led to Wedding Belt.
That's right, June the 14th, 1930. You see, I even remember the date.
Well, let's have some more music.
Well, let's see. My next record would give me the opportunity of having another member of my family with me, and it's a record by Barbara called Stowaway. I'm rather proud of this record because it was her debut as a singer, and one I particularly like.
I'd like to go away, be a stowaway. Take a trip on a ship, let my worries blow away. There are still many treasure islands that wait.
Well, while that very nice record of Barbara's was playing, I was doodling some figures here, Ben. You married in 1930.
That's right.
Yes. 1936 now. Oh, you were 8 years old. It's all right, yes. When did you first come to England?
All right, I catch on. First came to England in June 1933. B.B. and I came over here to make some films. B.B. made two, and I made one. Then we went back to the States and returned again in June 1936. We came for 3 weeks' appearance at the Palladium Theater.
Yes. You were some of the first American stars to appear at the Palladium, weren't you?
Yes, I think we played the Palladium before it became the American Embassy.
You came just for 3 weeks?
That's all. But while we were there, some managements came to us and said, would you play a week in Glasgow, or a week in Edinburgh and Sheffield, Leeds, various places, and I suppose we were hams. We were getting a great kick out of a live audience. And we accepted, and before we knew it, a year had passed, and we were committed for the next year, so we came back, and, well, 21 years later, we're still here.
Well, we owe you a lot for High Gang, Ben. That did a lot to cheer us up during the war.
Well, we had a lot of fun doing it, believe me.
It was comforting during the Blitz to hear that opening line of yours, "This is High Gang coming to you from the heart of London."
Well, Roy, we thought it was a good answer to Germany's claim that London was flat on the ground.
Hmm. Well, then you left us after that to go into the United States Air Force, didn't you?
Yes, B.B. and I were doing another show at the Palladium called Gangway, which closed December the 14th, 1942, and I joined the Air Force the following day and remained in service until the war ended.
Yes.
Then I went to Hollywood in 45 and was given the job of casting director with one of Hollywood's major film companies.
Mm-hmm. I believe you discovered, among others, Marilyn Monroe.
Yes, I'm very proud of Marilyn. She came into my office completely unknown in August 1947, and I signed her immediately on a 7-year contract, and then we discussed her name. Her real name is Norma Jean Doherty, which is rather a long name for lights, and I said we'd have to change it. She agreed, so I named her Marilyn after a very famous stage star in New York named Marilyn Miller.
Oh, yes.
And it's rather strange, Roy, that today she has really become Marilyn Miller since her marriage to Arthur Miller.
Arthur Miller, of course. Well, you certainly have an eye for picking blondes, haven't you?
Quiet, B.B. may be listening.
Let's have another record.
All right. Well, let's see now. I would like to play next The Coronation Scott by Sidney Torch's orchestra. You see, Roy, this record takes me back to our first visit up to Glasgow and Edinburgh, and all through the Highlands, we had a tour there. It's a wonderful record, and I think it's very exciting.
From Scott to Scotland. Where do we go now?
Well, B.B. and I have always been a great admirer of a lovely girl in this country named Vera Lynn. And since I will be spending a lot of time on this desert island, I imagine, before being rescued, I would like to take with me her recording of As Time Goes By. It's a wonderful one.
You must remember this. A kiss is still a kiss. A sigh is just a sigh. The fundamental things apply as time goes by.
Ben, you're sitting on this island listening to Vera Lynn. How do you think you're going to manage? Are you a practical man? Can you build things, make things?
Well, I'm not a very good do-it-yourself man, but I'd find a way. I'd have to. I first of all, would look for a mound, and then I'd dig myself a cave. Mm. You see, Roy, I've listened to a lot of your programs. I've heard your various guests talk about how they will build a hut with the palm leaves and all that sort of thing, but it worries me a little bit because they have terrific tropical rains, and I'm certain those huts would leak. I'm living in an old house that my roof leaks, so I want to be protected down on this island.
Something solid.
Solid, yes.
What are you going to eat?
Eat? Well, I'd look for root vegetables, fruit, nuts. coconuts, drink the milk.
Ever do any fishing?
Yes, I'm a fairly good fisherman.
You have no tackle, of course. You'd have to improvise that.
Well, I think I would take... I'd probably have one of my gold cufflinks or tie clasp. I'd tie that onto the end of a creeper and drag it through the water, sort of troll it, and as a fish came along to attack this shining object, I'd hit him over the head with a club.
Oh, it's a nice idea, at any rate. Could you light a fire?
Oh, yes. I was a Boy Scout once.
Good. Well, you seem to have all the right ideas, Ben. You have your Castaways badge, first class.
Oh, thank you very much.
Let's have record number 7.
Well, record number 7 would be another exciting one, because I feel there must be a change in tempo. I wouldn't always want the melodious, slow numbers. I'd want something to excite me, and I've selected Fiddle Faddle.
Fiddle Faddle by Leroy Anderson, played by the Kingsway Symphony Orchestra. Now your last one, Ben. What have you saved until the end?
Well, the last one is another lovely one. And it's sung by Maxine Daniels. I don't seem to be able to get away from the Daniels here. It's called The London I Love, and the lyrics express my feelings about London.
Mayfair Hotel, their windows beaming, chiming of bells, the river gleaming. You are my dream, I'm always dreaming. The London I love.
There are your 8 records, Ben. You've got one more choice to make. Every castaway has one luxury article to take to the island. What have you chosen?
Well, Roy, I'd want to take with me one of those little film projectors that you hold up to the light and crank my hand.
To show yourself Hell's Angels in 10-foot length.
Oh, no, no, no. Don't bring that up again. No, I'd take some film that the family made together, and then I'd be able to run it and see them as well as hear them on records.
Fine, you shall have it. And thank you, Ben Lyon, for letting us hear your choice of Desert Island Disc. Give my love to the family, will you?
I will, Roy, and thank you for letting me stay a while on your desert island.
Goodbye, everyone.
The guest in today's recorded program was Ben Lyon, the interviewer Roy Plumley, and the producer Dennis Jones. Next Monday, the castaway will be Margaret Rawlings, and on Saturday at 3:00, we shall repeat a program previously broadcast in this series, in which the castaway will be Al Hines.